Wow. What a great worship team. Aren't they awesome? Thank you, Eric. It's good to have Eric and Amanda back all the way from the United States. And it's good to have Talisha on stage singing. Beautiful. I think our creative team did an amazing job. And all the way across, Tash, you do an incredible job. And the boys, Brad and Daniel, and of course, Jessica. And shall I mention Jerry? It was Jerry. Well, won't you remain standing for a moment? I'm looking forward to the word this morning. And Gareth, he's a good man of God, and he loves the Bible, and I love it when he preaches. I always learn something new. So why don't we stay standing, and why don't we give him a huge round of applause?
Thank you, guys. You can all be seated now. And big happy birthday to Ulysses today. It's his birthday today, so make sure you give him a pat on the back and tell him how much you appreciate him. I didn't even know you could play drums, Ian. Where'd you go? How good was that? That's great. All right, who's got their Bible? All right, hold on to it tight, okay? Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you once again for this opportunity to come and teach your word, Lord God. I thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your word, Lord God. And I thank you that your word says, Lord, in Isaiah 55, verse 11, that your word, which is set forth, will not return to you void, but it will achieve that which was sent forth to do, Lord God. That, Lord, there is going to be a result in people's hearts today. Holy Spirit, I pray that you take this word and you minister individually to every person that is here today. And we thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. That was beautiful worship, wasn't it? Thank you, Tash. All right, if you could turn with me, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And just scroll your fingers down to the end of that chapter. I've got extra time today. Exciting. Who knows where we're going to land? All right. Matthew chapter 13, verses 53, all the way to the end. Now, Jesus has just unpacked a whole heap of theologies. Basically, he's just downloaded from heaven a whole bunch of parables. The sower, the parable of the wheat and the tares, the mustard seed, the leaven, and the parables, and you're all very thankful I'm not going through those all today, right? Okay, but we're going to get to the end of this chapter, in verse 53, unless you've got the New King James Version, don't read aloud, okay? Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue, so that they were astonished, and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, Judas, and his sisters? Are they all not all with us?" Yeah, some of you didn't even know he had siblings, did you? "When then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house." Verse 58, "Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." I don't know about you, but I want to see Jesus do some mighty works. All right. Okay. I want to see God do some mighty works, all right? So I'm going to just go through this and unpack it verse on verse, and I'm going to jump to another chapter, and then we'll see what happens, okay? All right, verse 53, "Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these parables that he departed from there." Okay, Jesus spoke in parables so that those who would seek God would receive a revelation, but those whose hearts were hardened to the Lord would not. And actually in the same chapter, back in verse 10, his disciples come to him and they say, Jesus, why do you speak in parables? Like, it sounds like he's all a bunch of riddles, you know, if you don't, you know. And he said, he goes, because the knowledge of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them, because they're seeking him. Verse 54, when he had come to his own country, he taught them in the synagogue. Now, he hasn't gone to another country. That word there, which I've put somewhere else in my notes, actually just means homeland, like hometown kind of thing, right? He taught them in the synagogue, and they were astonished. Where did this man get this wisdom from and these mighty works? The people of Nazareth were both amazed and offended all at the same time at the wisdom and the power of Jesus. And they're like, is this not the carpenter's son, referring to Joseph? Because back then, trades were like generational, and you'd teach your kids, and you didn't go to TAFE, you just learned from your dad kind of thing, right? And it's true, he is the carpenter's son. So Jesus had a regular job, okay? Everyone's got this life, you know, work, ministry, balance, and I suck at it. But, like, Jesus had the same thing until he went full-time. He was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And his mother called Mary. I actually read one commentary where they don't mention Joseph, but the fact they mention Mary, it could be a dig at him, because your father's name was your surname. So he would be Jesus bar Joseph. But because they say, he's not Mary's son, there could have been a little bit of a stab at him in the original Greek. But the thing is as well, Joseph kind of disappears. Have you ever noticed that? Like, you know, he is an honorable man, because the scripture says he's an honorable man, so he didn't just take off to Vegas. Like, it's assumed that he passed away, right? Which means then that Jesus grew up in a single mother household. Now, it names four of his brothers and then sisters in plural. So that means there was at least seven kids in that family. Seven kids. So yes, Jesus was obviously the oldest because of the Immaculate Conception. And as soon as that one landed, Mary and Joseph got busy, right? Before TVs were invented. And I think it's amazing that he could grow up in a house with seven kids and still not sin. Like, I've got two siblings, and as many times I wanted to kill both of them. Could you imagine being his brother or sister? Like, hey, Joe, how was school today? Oh, well, you know, imagine Jesus' report card. Like, anyway. Now, these are the things that they're bringing reference to, which are really totally irrelevant when you're the Son of God, right? These things were totally irrelevant. The Lord Jesus preached the gospel to these sinners, like you and I. But they begin to grumble about his family, his education, what qualifications he's got to be the preacher. Right? It says in Philippians 2, Paul says in Philippians 2, 7, but he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of man. So there was divine attributes that Jesus emptied himself of when he took on skin and flesh. So he was limited to humankind like us. Although he was God in his spirit, he was mankind like you and I. He wasn't some sort of metahuman. He was 100% God and 100% man at the same time. So he was like you and I, but at the same time, nothing like you and I. You can't say he's half man, half God, because that just doesn't make sense, because he's fully God and fully man all at once. Although he was sinless and morally perfect in every minute detail of his life, there was obviously nothing spectacular about him, because they grew up in the same town as him, and they didn't think he was anything extraordinary. Obviously, he didn't sin, and he would have shined as a special guy. But they kind of were coming out saying, hang on, isn't that the carpenter's son? They weren't straight out like, oh, it's Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Do you see what I'm saying? C.H. Spurgeon. Who's ever read Spurgeon? uses a lot of words. They grew sarcastic and harped on upon the family name of Jesus. This was Spurgeon, one of his sermons, Joseph, Simon, Judas. And they hinted that he could not have learned such wisdom in the carpenter's shop and that he had not been among the rabbis to obtain the superior education. He would have been very articulate because in the scriptures they refer to that quite a few times. They hinted that he could not have learned such wisdom in the carpenter's shop that he could not have been among the rabbis to obtain a superior education. He could not really know much. How could he have attained such eminence? He was a mere nobody. Why they knew him when his parents lost him and they went to the feast at Jerusalem, they could not listen to the talk of the carpenter's son. Verse 57, so they were offended at him. Right? It's not hard to offend people, is it? And it wasn't hard then either. But the word here, it says, and Jesus' response is, a prophet is not without honor. That word honor is a Greek word, atimos. It's actually a negative. It's actually without honor is one word in the Greek, right? It means like without, yeah, like unhonored. Except in his own country, and that was that word I was saying before, that patrice, it means like his hometown as such. Verse 58, now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Scripture firmly says, because they didn't believe, Jesus didn't do many mighty works. Now, don't think that Jesus, God, needs belief to work. All right, he can do what he wants, when he wants. He's not restricted by us, but he will only move when there's faith. Now, the scripture says it was because of their unbelief, but Jesus said a prophet is not without honor. He's brought reference to honor. So, unbelief was the issue, but the expression of that was through honor. The writer J.C. Ryle wrote, behold, referring to the word unbelief, behold in this single word, the secret of everlasting ruin of a multitude of souls. In one word, John 3, verse 18. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You are saved by faith. Faith is belief that is acted upon. It's belief that has a response, right, and is applied to something directly. Jesus refers directly to honor as the expression of that belief. Honor. And thank you, Kieran, for that encouragement this morning. Definitely honor the Lord with your first fruits. It's funny, because I got this word on honor today. And God put the same on his heart. So listen, God's saying something. Belief. Our belief. What we believe is important. But in our society, belief has been reduced to like an opinion. It's like everyone's got a right to an opinion. You've got your right to an opinion. You've got your right to your own belief. But how can two people that believe something different both be right? You see, you've got the right to believe whatever you like, but there is consequences to what you believe. Now, I want God to do mighty works. Is anyone else here with me today? Anyone? Just give me a holler just so I know you're out there. This looks good from up here. Look at these. Yeah, all right. Thank you. I had 1 hour of sleep last night, so no one here is tighter than me, okay? Unless you're a single mom, you deserve a medal for being here. They expected the carpenter to behave a certain way. And because of that, they totally missed what God was doing. Now, what happens when we're expecting Christ to behave a certain way and he's doing something new? If the lack of honor can stop Jesus doing mighty works, that very statement, what does that say to us? The unbelief was expressed through the lack of honor. Honor positions us with what God is doing. Now, I want to make this very clear from the start. You forget any notion, if you have it, that is, that you can earn anything from God. All the blessing on your life, the fact you're here today and you're still sucking oxygen, says to you that God's not finished with you yet. He's not finished with you. Everything in your life that is good is a gift from heaven. You have earned none of it. It is all from the Lord. You cannot pay God back. You cannot earn anything. Everything you do to serve the Lord simply positions you with what he's doing and positions you. Do you see where I'm going? Okay? When you're fasting, don't think for a second that the Lord is impressed with how hungry you are. It's like, man, this guy's hungry. I'm going to definitely give him that car he's praying for, right? It's not like that. When you fast, you're suppressing the flesh and bringing up the spirit. And the spirit is where you connect with the Lord because you're positioning yourself in the spirit. Do you hear what I'm saying? All right. Now, I want you to keep that when I'm going down this track of honor. You don't earn anything from the Lord, but you position yourself to receive from him. You hear me? All right. I've got time. I'm excited today. All right. 2 points about unbelief from this passage so far. Their unbelief caused them to focus on the irrelevant. Okay, it was irrelevant, all the facts that they brought up to. Why is he preaching all this stuff? Like, it was because. And the other thing is, the unbelief caused them to ignore the obvious. The obvious. Now, they just come off Lazarus coming back from the dead. That's a big deal, right? I haven't seen that myself, but I've heard about it, and just hearing about it got me excited. No doubt it's happened. Whence hath this man's wisdom and mighty works come from? They heard the doctrine. They saw the miracles. They didn't reject him for a lack of evidence that he was who he said he was. There was plenty of evidence, right? Excuse me. They rejected him because they didn't like the truth, all right? Literally, that light shone in the darkness, and they didn't like it. They rejected the truth. There was plenty of evidence of who he was, who he says he was. Now, the Oxford Dictionary, just jumping along, says that honor, this is in our language, not the biblical Greek, it's simply high respect and great esteem, all right? And it goes on to elaborate. Gosh, block there, right? Need another coffee this morning. It is to recognize and show public admiration for someone and showing them respect as that shown for a special merit and of giving recognition or esteem. That's honor. But respect is different to honor. Now, I hit a few speed humps when I was studying this out because the word in the Greek artimoi, they actually translate in different versions into different words in English. So the same word, to establish context, they use a different English word. So they would use words like glory, love, esteem for the word honor. So when I'm Googling honor, I was limited in what was actually coming up. You understand? So the whole theme of honor is much more prevalent in the Greek of the Bible than it is in the English translation. Respect is simply feeling of deep admiration for someone or something, excited by their abilities, qualities, and achievement. You can respect someone you don't even like. Right? Now, biblical honor. Biblical honor. Now, actually, I found a quote which was quite good about the difference between respect and honor. Craig Rochelle puts it this way, and I think this is the best way I found it, right? Respect is what people have to earn. Right? You've heard the saying, you need to earn your respect? It's kind of sad, but because personally, I don't subscribe to that. I will give everybody respect. Straight up. Who am I that they need to earn my respect? But yet, I know who they are in God. So who am I not to respect them? You know what I'm saying? That's my personal thing, right? That wasn't a paraphrase of scripture. I just thought that was the way to go with that one. Respect is what you have to earn. Honor is a gift you give freely. Honor comes from God. Honoring from a pure motive is possible only when we have a proper perspective of who God is. You with me? Because then we know what and who we are and who others are in relation to us and God. Following? It begins with deep honor and respect for God and thus for all he says. Now, 10 commandments. First 4, honor God. When you get those right, you can fulfill the second 6. Honor man. You won't steal, you won't kill, you won't do all those things if you honor the Lord. Now, there's a passage in 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. I'll read it to you because I've got my Bible up here. Now, This is what it says that God gives honor first, right? The man of God came to Eli. Eli was a priest. Now, he had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. If I said that right, probably not. These two guys were junior priests, and they were doing the wrong thing. They were taxing the offering. They were, like, hitting on the girls in the temple. It was all wrong, okay? And Samuel knew about it, gave him a few words, but didn't follow through. And God wasn't happy with it. And God said in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, "Therefore the Lord God says to Israel," this is the man of God, this is the prophets who God's speaking through, "I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever." See, God said, "I said that. But now," the Lord says, "far be it from me. For those who honor me, I will honor, and those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Draw near, in the New Testament says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Do you see the positioning? I'm just going to give you a few Psalms and a few Proverbs. Ready for this? And then we're going to launch. Psalm 91, verse 15. "He shall call on me and I will answer him." It's God speaking. "I will be with him in trouble and I will deliver him and honor him." God honors people. Proverbs, the wisdom of Solomon, chapter 21, verse 21. "He who follows righteousness and mercy finds life, righteousness, and honor." Now, in our culture, would you consider, like, let's be real, honor, are we an honoring culture? We are in the church, but I'm talking about secular society as a whole. My gosh, I've got CNN, and it is shocking. Like, whether you agree with him or not, the president of the United States is getting slammed in the media. Like, obviously, you know, there's people have got a bit of ammo on him, but that's the highest political figure on earth, and yet you talk to him like a bunch of 14-year-olds of high school. I think that's disgusting. I see stuff on the news now that if I even thought when I was growing up, my grandmother slapped me across the back of the head. And people punch that out on media. We've shifted as a culture, and to actually have honor as our culture in the house, we're almost antithetical to society now. Do you agree? Yeah. Psalm 22, verse 23. "You who fear the Lord, you who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob," meaning those who have inherited the culture, "glorify him, fear him, all you offspring of Israel." For us to live that out and walk it every day, we are in a different culture to the world. Our culture tends to treat God as common. Have you ever heard of God? God, the Elohim, referred to as the big fella, the big guy, the man upstairs. I mean, there's a stupid t-shirt that says, "Jesus is my homeboy." I don't think you'll be wearing that before the throne. Jesus is not your homeboy. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha. He is the Omega. And he's coming back. And I'm not wearing that shirt on that day. Honor. Honor. Honor can shift the atmosphere. It can shift the atmosphere. It can change relationships. It can change circumstances. I'll give you one example, right? We have some friends of ours who invited us to go to a party. All right. Yes, I'm not that old. I got invited to a party. All right. And they were African family. They have some friends that were over in the Hills District, and they were having a Mother's Day party. They wanted to bring all. The purpose of this party was to bring all the mums together and honor them for Mother's Day. Great idea. Anyway, so we drove over there. I think they were Nigerian background. Lovely people, right? So we drive over there. And we were talking to our friends on the driveway, and they knew them, and we were unpacking the kids, because to unpack the kids takes time. And so they go, "Oh, we'll just go on in." It's like, "Yeah, we're used to that. See you later." And they went in. And then, so we unpacked the kids. They run off, and Lou and I are walking up to the front door. Just as I'm about to, I put my hand out to knock, the door swings open. And there's this little African fella, dressed like he just walked off the golf course. He opens the door and, like, I'm going to try and give this guy as much credit. I'm going to try and do this right. He goes, "Hello?" My name is Henry. Welcome to my house. And I'm just like, see, that's how you answer the door, dude. And he goes, you are our honored guest. I'm like, really? Thank you. Anyway, so we got to give him a handshake. He goes in for the hug. First time, that's how you lead in, right? And he goes, please, come in. And I literally walked maybe two steps. Then he says, let me introduce you to the lady of the house, Neka. And I look up, and it's like Cleopatra was standing there. Like Queen Nefertiti. I'm talking Queen of Sheba. There was like this beautiful African woman. Am I on par here, right, honey? Yeah. There was this beautiful African woman, and she had this metallic gold robe on and this headpiece. And I'm like, Candace. And she, Queen Nefertiti, right? And she's like, welcome, come. And I'm walking into this house, and she's just like, it is so wonderful to have you here. Come. And I'm just like, where are we, hon? I'm like, what is going on? Anyway, this guy goes, come, let me introduce you to some of my friends. And this guy was like 5 foot nothing. He walked like he was 6 foot 8, right? He's walking through there, and he's like, and his eyeballs were too big for his head. It was just like, boy, this guy just had energy, right? And he was, I love this guy, right? Anyway, and he take me around, and he introduced me to all the people. He had maybe about 40 people, 30, 40 people there. And he introduced me. Every time he'd introduce me to someone, he'd just affirm something in them. He'd make a comment about them, or something personal, something professional. It could be something that they do, like if they're a singer. And we did this for like maybe 25 people, right? But he wasn't just like blowing smoke at him. Like, he was actually calling something out in them, right? And he was just affirming something in them. And I'm telling you, the atmosphere in that house, I could reach out and just grab a chunk of it. Like, it was, like, palpable. I'm telling you, like, this guy had the kingdom of God established in his house, right? And we left that day, and, like, I'm just like, honey, we've got to learn from this guy. I need to lay hands on me or something. Because it was an atmosphere. And he was honoring God, right? Man, when he said grace before they ate, I mean, there was more food there than the Rainers, man. I mean, it was huge, right? Like, right? And when he said grace, I thought he was going to take it to an altar call. Like, seriously, it was huge. Like, I'm just like, hey, man, I was going to get saved that day, right? I'm already saved. And then he goes, excuse me, everybody. It is now time to dance. And I was like, what? I'm like, I'm an Aussie, you know, we don't do that. Like, we can't dance the best of time. And then it says, and then you know what? Everybody starts going. You know what? I started going. Like, and he had like 40 people in his living room dancing. I'm like, what is going on, honey? Like, it's like heaven on earth, right? Anyway. What I'm saying is, he honored God, he honored his wife, he honored his guests, and he established the kingdom in his house. Honor. Now, honor. The Bible, I'm going to bust through this, okay? I'll use that time I had. The Bible, there's many different areas in our life where the Bible leads us to honor people. Now, one, and I'm going to put this on the first on the list because God, it makes the top 10 commandments, the 10 commandments. Honor your parents, right? Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, it says, honor your father, your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. He's actually attached a promise to it. You honor your parents, you will live long and you will prosper. Now, who's been a teenager? Yeah, we honor our parents. It's almost cool not to, right? My kids struggle sometimes with that. Culturally, it's almost expected that kids arc up against their folks, right? Yet, the Bible doesn't have any condition on that, whether they're saved, unsaved, whether they're good parents, bad parents. Even if your parents didn't do the job they were called to do, you're still called to honor them. Still called to honor them. I was talking to Pastor Andrew about this, and he made a good point. He's saying, like, you don't... They could have done a bad job. There could be, you know, we don't know, like, whatever the circumstances are, you don't need to trust someone to honor them. Do you know what I mean? These guys, somebody could wrong you, but you still honor the position. All right? Now, another one is those that are in authority, the authority in our life. Romans chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, "Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves." I don't know about you, but I don't want to bring judgment on myself. There is a divine structure that God has implemented, right, in the body of Christ. Also, in the governments of the world. The Bible is very clear. There is no authority except from God. So when you want to protest authority or challenge it, or now I'm not talking about having disclosed door discussions and things like that. I'm talking about trying to actually shipwreck or like the authority and ordinance that God's put in place. When you go against that, you are taking God on. You are going against Him. I don't think you'll win. I'm pretty sure you won't. Romans 13, verse 7, "Render therefore to all their due. Taxes to whom taxes?" Yes, my friends, it says that when it comes to tax time. You're honoring God when you're paying your taxes, all right? "Customs to whose customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor." We're supposed to show honor not only to powerful people in government, but to all those who are in authority over us. Another area the Bible brings mentions to is honor in our family. Honor in our family. If you're struggling with your spouse, I would suspect the first thing that goes at the door is your honoring. Because it's not easy when you make the decision that they're not worthy of honor. But I want to encourage you, honor the position. Ladies, if you feel your man's not doing his job, and you feel you need to step up and take over because someone needs to, honor him. Honor him. Trust me. Just trust me. Call out the good in him. Give him something to step up to. Don't take it away from him, because you'll have more problems later. If you play sport, honor your coach, right? At school, honor your teachers. My boy Judah, he's had a rough time at school. We've just had a few meetings in the office with the principal. There's been times I've wanted to reach across that desk and strangle him. And the thought, I've seen it very clearly in my mind. But he's the principal. It's his school. If I want my son to honor the teachers, I need to honor the authority in that school. I've respectfully disagreed, but I have not gone against his authority. I will not, because I want my son to. If you're having problems at work, you're struggling with your boss, even if your boss is wrong, he's still your boss. He's still your boss. Honor your boss. I've been in that situation a few times. There might have been times where you're smarter and better at the job than the boss. Trust me, when you raise up the positions above you in an organizational structure, when you lift those positions up, guess who gets sucked up as well? You know what I'm saying? But if you want to pull those positions down, well, if they're your boss, you're under them, so you're pulling yourself down. Honor your church leaders. In the body of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:12, "And I urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you, who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you." Now, yeah, I've only got through half of the sermon. But what I'm going to do, Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, "Honor all people, love the brotherhood, honor the king." When you show honor to those who lead you spiritually, I guarantee you it's going to elevate your role. When you lift up those who are above you in any structure, that lifts up your role. Honor, right, brings trust. Trust is like a currency in relationships. The more you've got, the more you can do with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to park it there. But what I want to do, I want to see a our culture of honor rise up. Now, I think we're pretty good. But I want to see it established in everyone's heart, because I want you guys to experience honor, experience trusting, genuine relationships. Everybody here is deserving of honor. And our honor comes from God. I want to take this opportunity just to honor a few people. Is that cool? All right. Pastor Andrew and Marianne, can I ask you guys to stand, please? Now, everyone knows who Pastor Andrew and Pastor Marianne is, but you might not know how our church was birthed. I know the story, and it sent chills up my spine, because I'm a man with a family, and I've got responsibilities. And these guys heard the voice of the Lord put a vision in their hearts. Now, they had the choice in their own free will whether to say, yes, God, and go, or, just walk on. Now, God still would have blessed them, I believe, but you guys were faithful, and that was scary. Like, I mean, I heard the story, I wasn't even there, and it scared me. Like, there's a level of faith where you just put everything on the line because you heard the voice of God. And I remember sitting in a restaurant back in 2009, and Pastor Andrew was telling me about, yeah, it's all right, because this is what God's put in my heart. He said, and he described what we have today. Right back then. Like, it was, like, I remember back to that now, and I just want to honor you guys, because that you've created a culture of faith where you've lifted other people up who see that. You're an example to the brethren. And I just want to really honor you guys and thank you for that, because we're here today. We have this church. We have each other because you guys had the guts to step out and say, yes, God, I'm going to walk on water. Let's give these guys a hand. All right. Let's sit down now. Thank you. And that's a great encouragement for me. Where's Jill? Jill, you are such an inspiration for us. Do you know what I mean? Like, when most people in your season of life are starting to slow down, taking it easy, you're just warming up. Thank you for what you do for my wife. She gets so encouraged, and she's going around Liverpool trying to bring people to your life group. And I want to thank you for that, because nobody would ask you to constantly put yourself on the line like that, but you do. And I want to thank you. Now, Mao, Moi, was that right? Moi, Mao? Yes, you. can you stand up, please? Sorry, because I'm not sure if everybody here knows you. This is Mao, okay? Now, I've served with Mao. My gosh, man. I don't know if you guys were here for the Christmas dinner. She was like first one here, last one to go. I struggled to keep up with her. And I was like, really, I was encouraged. I was like, man, we've got some guns in this church. And when you do the door, you like, when I come in, right, it doesn't matter what's happened, you know, whether I had like stressful, like finished work, I'm tired, half asleep, you just light the whole door up. Like, you're like, I'm just like, I want to come give you a hug and kiss and just tell you I love you and thank you so much for being you. Yeah. All right? You're awesome. And Sheila, thank you for everything you do in the cafe. Because, you know, if it wasn't for you, and I know you, is Eliza here, and who, cafe team, who else is here? You guys. If you guys didn't do Tracy, yeah, where are you? Tracy, somewhere, Tracy. Thank you. I love you. If you guys didn't do what you do, right, at the end of the service, people would just wander out the front door and go home. All right? But you guys create this, like, atmosphere where people want to hang out and have fellowship, and you're making these beautiful coffees, and I really appreciate that. Because, you know, your time is valuable, but yet you give it freely. You know, you just, okay, and you guys are like educated professionals, and yet you make coffees. And I really just want to say thank you for that. And can I just honor one more person who, Louise, I love you, baby. And you know what? I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for you. Because you run around getting all the kids in the, you know, when I'm trying to zone in on the word. And, you know, you do a lot. And I really appreciate you, and I can't even tell you how much I love you, because there's no words in the heat to say that. So, you know, And thank you for pulling me into line when I need to be and stuff like that. Yeah, it's all right. I got this one. It's no problem. Showing my shirt this morning. Hey, how bad am I? Much do I suck. And look, I could do this all day because all of you guys do amazing things, okay? But I just don't have the time. But just like, Rita, you have this gift of affirmation. I don't know if you know how powerful your words are, but you have encouraged us. You've encouraged my son. And comments that you've posted, I've showed Judah, and it's like pulled him out of it. Like he's had a bad day and he read that. And, you know, thank you so much for just being you. Your comments, like you've got this gift of affirmation. I don't know if you know that. But do you guys know? Anyone know Rita? Rita, yeah, she's amazing. I love Rita. Rita, and you know I could just do this all day because you guys are just awesome. Chloe, Monza, you've always challenged me in every life group I've ever been in, and it's because of you that I know I'm going to stay sharp in the Word. Because if I get one thing wrong, I'm going to nail me to that wall. And I just want to thank you. You make a beautiful life group. If these guys, Monza, you guys know Monza? If these guys ever start a life group again, which I'm praying for, so when it happens, make sure you go because they're awesome. It's great. And she's a good cook. She makes the best sticky date pudding ever. I've never gotten over it. Never attempted to make it myself. But anyway, Hannah, thank you. Hannah, I don't know if you guys know what Hannah does. Hannah serves in the food care. She organizes all that. Now, you know, Hannah, you could be doing anything out there. You know, you could be doing any profession, and you're like a businesswoman. Your mind clocks over like cost-effective structures and stuff like that. You could be just making a killing in the world, but yeah, you're like, nah, I've got a purpose. God's got a plan for me. I'm doing what God's called me to do. Thank you. Thank you. And the Rainers. You guys are like just culture setters. You guys are cultural architects. And you give up your house every second week. And you don't just have people over. You create, like, I'm in the events industry. And I look at you guys and think, I know what's involved. And I know how hard it is. I know how expensive it is. I just want to say thank you because you guys are a tremendous blessing. And Tash, I had a word for you. I didn't tell you, Tash. We know a bit of your struggles. We know a bit of what you're going through, right? And you're tough. You're really tough. But when you were worshiping, I was just like, God bless her. Keep giving her energy. You know what I saw? You know, like the pots when Jesus turned the water to wine? I saw this like vessel, this big earthen pot. And you know when he talks about streams of living water? I was praying God would bless you. I just saw these streams filling the pot up to the top. And then the pot just fell over and just like, oh, splashed everyone. And we all got blessed by that. Thank you. Thank you, because you know, knowing what you've gone through, I would never ask that of you, but I just want to thank you that you still come every week, inside out, and yeah. Look, guys, if I didn't, you guys are awesome. You guys are just awesome, every single one of you, and I could do this all day, but I know you guys have got a destiny to fulfill, and so if you guys could all stand for me, and one thing I must do, I want to take this opportunity. All honor comes from the Lord. To know who you are in the Lord starts with having a relationship with Him. Now, God loves every single one of you, and He knows what's in you, and He wants to draw the best out of you, and He wants to lead you to become the best version of yourself. The best. And you know what? Sometimes it's like you want to just kind of like shy away from the Lord because you feel like, you know, you got junk in the trunk and you don't want Him to see it. He knows about it. He knows about it. He knows everything. He loves you anyway. So I want to invite you right now, if you want to, whether you're kicking off that relationship or you're coming back to Him, if there's anybody here who wants to make a fresh start with God today to say, you know what, I'm not walking out of here, same as when I came in. If there's anybody here today who wants to say to God, yes, just raise your hand where you're at. Just raise your hand where you're at. I feel there's one person here, just one, that God's saying to you right now, maybe there's more than one, but there's definitely, I felt the Lord just invited somebody in there. God just wants you to know, I love you. And you know, He died on the cross in your place. He took a beating. He spilled His blood. He took it all on Himself That sin that you don't want to bring before him, he knows about it, but he's pinned that to the cross. It's dealt with. It's paid for. Paid for. It's over. It's gone. He's taken it. He's paid the price. You can walk away today free in him with a clean conscience, knowing that you're forgiven. If that's you, I want to invite you in a relationship with the Lord today. What we're going to do, I'm just going to pray for you. I'm going to hang around here. If you want to come and talk to me, that'd be great. There's some guys at the back here. If you put your hand up, we're going to have a word with you. But guys, God bless you. And I want to challenge you today. Can you guys just find someone you don't always talk to, and just affirm something in them. Just speak it into them. Draw it out. Whatever it is the Lord puts on your hand, on your heart, I should say. Just take that moment. You know, those little words you say, you might not even see the result, but believe me, there's power in that. So guys, I just want to pray right now. Father, in Jesus' wonderful name, thank you, Lord, for my church family. Thank you for each other person here. Thank you for the person next to us, the person in front, person behind. Thank you for the plan, the purpose you have for every single person here. No one is outside of your reach. No one here is left on the sidelines. We're all called to be front row players in this game, Lord God. And I just pray you continue to stir faith on the hearts of every person that's here, Lord God. In Jesus' wonderful name. God bless you guys.
Well, that's it. God bless you. What a great word. Give Gareth a hand. And I love that. I love that spirit of honor. You know, every second Tuesday we gather our just key leaders and people that are spiritually responsible. And, you know, last Tuesday, there's a great gift of prophecy in this house. Got all the leaders, just we picked out Chris Savolis and just got them to have encouraging words. And what came out was amazing. That just flowed. And I just concur with what you've just done, Gareth. That was amazing. God bless you. If you're new or visiting with us, please head off into our cafe. If you're a new Christian, you're going to go right with Kieran. Kieran will wait over here. Just go see him. You're going to go straight up to a new Christian's course for 20-odd minutes. So God bless you. Have a great rest of your Sunday. Get involved in a life group. God bless you all.